You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I want to get to Billy because I think that he thinks, I don't know what exactly he was talking about here, but that last night, Tom Brady breaking a record, I don't think that he was celebrating it the way that the rest of America was. Billy, I'm assuming that that's what you're talking about when you throw into the atmosphere, hey, what is the worst all-time record-breaking celebration that was just kind of crappy?
There was none. They like respotted the ball and they're like, oh, he has the record now because we spotted it short like 2 yards and now we respotted it and he has the record. And there was like a graphic on the screen real quick and there was like zero acknowledgement of it during the game. It was the strangest celebration of a massive achievement.
It's the rare game where that's not the story, though. I mean, breaking that record is just simply not the story. It's Belichick and it's Brady and it's Brady going back to that field for the first time against that coach and that team. That was the big story.
Was it better or worse than the laminated sheet of paper Drew Brees
that
got?
That was weird, too.
So football, you're telling me football, it's big, America's sport, it's the biggest thing. Here's the passing record. These are the best to ever do it. Let's move the ball back 2 yards, and here's a laminated paper. Baseball's much better at these things. We don't care. Baseball had a great day yesterday. NFL pooped on it.
It's also part of a general trend around football, which is this whole, like, the spotting of the ball is among the more imprecise sciences that there is. They're so bad at it. And to screw up such a big moment by just a referee going, oh, I missed about 2 yards. Therefore, like, just don't move it 2 yards.
Yeah, don't.
Like, Tom Brady will be just fine if he can throw a ball into the end zone to break this record instead of some old guy placing it 2 yards forward towards a record.
Speaking of some old guy, the biased mainstream media is not even talking about Ben Roethlisberger getting his 400th touchdown yesterday.
Cares?
Oh,
my
God.
He threw a touchdown?
Eighth quarterback ever in history.
I didn't realize you can get a touchdown throwing it to the line of scrimmage.
It was a tough day for Marino yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
It was. Yeah.
Roethlisberger passed him or tied him in something. Aaron Rodgers passed him or tied him in something.
Marino just turned 60, and Whittingham's been waiting for a quarterback since. like his entire lifetime, he's been waiting. He just said his first childhood memory, and if this doesn't instruct you about all things Whittingham, everything that happened later in life was born here, is seeing Marino at 62-7, where the Jacksonville Jags were just running back pick sixes and he was hobbling after them, looking like Roethlisberger does now. And America was laughing at Miami, the last great thing that we had in that
and
sport.
And Mark Brunell looked like Mahomes does now. Mark Brunell broke me over his knee. Mark Brunell.
You got the worst part
he
of Marino.
And he hasn't had a quarterback since.
Had Pennington 1 year.
Oh, I mean. God.
How many times are you going to do Pennington?
Because I had Pennington for a few years. It's
this is why I'm saying we need to build out this other channel, this show hosted by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Pennington would also be one of the guests. We need to build out the show because I believe last night should have been a celebration equally of just how shitty the AFC East has been. It's been a comedy show their entire run. And the Patriots get credit for doing that to everybody, but no, they were just shitty, all of them. The Bills, 17 years without a playoff appearance.
I love the idea of, like, most specifically focusing on the players that have played for multiple AFC East teams. Tyler Thigpen is among them. I got excited for a Thursday night football Tyler Thigpen game.
AJ Feely.
He's athletic.
Oh, God.
Tyler Thigpen is athletic.
Yes.
Maybe he'll be something.
Revolutionary. I got excited for a Thursday night football game. I think they were home with the Rams.
20 years you've lived. It's not purgatory. There's a special kind of hell where the Dolphins and the Jets are. It's the both of them. And now they're both trying to climb back up, and Zach has given them two good halves, and we don't know what we've gotten to. And the entire fan bases, the bottom of the AFC East, the losers, we are the opposite end of the sports spectrum from where that game last night exists. We're the shit that runs from the toilet that overflows in Foxborough for 20 years. Whittingham is a loser covered in shit. Who else is on this show?
Hear, hear.
Who else is making out this show of people who have played for multiple teams in this division? Because that should be celebrated as well, with more fanfare than the 2 yards that Tom Brady got for breaking the all-time passing yards record. How is that a backstory to the soap opera?
They spent more time on NBC, I think, talking about the fact that yesterday was the first time there was two coaches that were 69 or older coaching at the same time. Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't want to sound ageist, but is it a good idea to have two 69-year-olds out in the rain in 59-degree weather for 4 hours?
That was ageist.
I wouldn't do that for me. You get the sniffles, you get a cold. It's not right. Good.
Yeah. I also find incredibly impressive that these very old men stand for 4 straight hours.
It's crazy. For me,
the prospect
it's
very late, for me, I'm 29, and the prospect of standing for 4 straight hours, that's a lot.
So you guys think Belichick and Arians are the ones we should be celebrating last night for their physical prowess of just being able to stand there for 4 hours without getting the sniffles.
In the rain, 59 degrees. Yeah. Who knows what the wind chill was? That's a whole nother animal. Tony, this week, put up a video of you standing outside in 59-degree weather rain.
Where can I go
hours.
That's 59 degrees? Just go to Foxborough for the weekend and just stand there for 4 hours.
That's when I'll believe you're a
great
athlete.
Like it? Will you like it at that point?
Make sure to tag the show.
I noticed you didn't like it in the first time. Yeah.
I noticed you didn't like it the first time. Maybe you'll like my post that time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to fill out the room right now. I mean, Todd Collins.
I think Brad Smith played for multiple teams.
Geno Smith.
Yes, Geno Smith.
I think, is it possible that Geno Smith, I read some stat from last night's game because it was a rookie quarterback that involved Geno Smith. He has to be in the room. Geno Smith. How 100%. Many years did you try to convince yourself that Geno Smith was the future at the position?
I spent 2013, 2014, and parts of 2015 thinking he was the answer. Yeah,
that's the last rookie quarterback to beat Tom Brady. Does he make it into the room?
Oh, he has to be in that room, of course. I mean, J.P. Lossman's already
Trent
in the
Edwards.
Room. Trent Edwards has to be in that room.
Is
E.J.
Gus,
Manuel
is Gus
has to Farratt, be in that room.
Is Gus Farratt in the room?
He is absolutely in the room, Dan. It was so he was like an early 2000s Nick Saban solution.
A man who concussed himself celebrating a touchdown, correct?
That yes. was yeah, that was when he was in Washington.
Gus
yeah.
Farratt and Trent Green, famously concussed quarterbacks. Mm.
Chad Henne's in that room.
Chris Hogan has played on every single team in the AFC East.
7-Eleven.
It seems impossible to believe that Chad Henne is still around, but he is.
What do you mean?
Is he? That's right. He's the Chiefs backup still, right?
If Mahomes, do you realize how quickly football will be torpedoed if Mahomes gets hurt? Do you realize what a giant star this person is at the moment?
Could Henne be good in that offense?
We've seen it already. It's not that.
Guys, he won a game, right? Remember he had that fourth down where he had to run and
a choppy run.
Yes. Champion Chad Henne.
He won a game.
He should have tagged at Levitard Show when he ran for that first down.
That has been the entire AFC East right there, getting into that game by happenstance through Chenny, the great Chad Henne, getting finally.
No, Chenny was right.
Chenny was good, Dan.
Yes.
Good on you.
To a big moment and grinding out that yard with a knee we remember, the most memorable career moment for Chad Henne, who played many years as our quarterback. We tried to convince ourselves for how many years? Was it 6, 5?
Yeah.
Before Tannehill, it was Chad Henne.
Every once in a while, I've since deleted my Facebook page, but I used to get these memories of like 12 years ago, you posted this, and it was something about Chad Henne, and furious debates in the comments section about the merits those? Of wait, Chad Henne.
Wait, can we read those? Can we come in here and do like a play? I want to do a play of that comment
section. Civil War reenactment.
Every single post starts with Chris Whittingham is.
Whittingham fighting with people on the internet because what were you trying to talk? Were you trying to talk them into Chad Henne?
No,
is
I was in the anti-Chad Henne camp. I was like, enough of this with Chad Henne. And multiple people, no, you're wrong. It's the Tannehill thing. It's the Tua thing. It's why I have PTSD about this godforsaken team.
How many years, though? How many years of Henne was it trying to talk to?
I think that was 3 years.
It was 2 years of Henne. You had Pennington, then 2 years of Henne Hope, and then you had Tannehill right after that.
It was John Beck Hope before it was Chad Henne Hope.
John Beck has to be in that room.
And again, Fitzgerald and the beard swimming through
every
team.
Fitzpatrick, that's a fine.
Fitzpatrick, excuse me. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That is a fine.
It's another 200.
So close.
Fitzpatrick.
It's played for all three of the AFC East teams except for the Patriots. It's unbelievable.
And they've all tried to talk themselves into him.
I think they all gave him a contract extension. Well, maybe the Jets didn't, but definitely the Bills and the Dolphins gave him a contract extension.
And then proof that we don't know anything. Imagine right now if Fitzpatrick were playing like Heineke.
Oh, man.
If he hadn't hurt his hip on a water slide. Like
according to a caller to a radio station.
Allegedly.
The whole sport would be different right now. Fitzpatrick mania would be engulfing the land because they were 2-2. Still trying to talk themselves into Fitzpatrick is the answer when we just celebrated last night. Fitzpatrick not being the answer for all three teams in the sport, and now he's older than he's ever been, and Fitzmagic.
And he was actually remarkably athletic a year ago, Fitzpatrick, with the Dolphins. He ran. He was like the Dolphins' leading rusher two seasons ago.
He hurt his hip at the water slide.
So part of the decorations in the background of this room, this megacast, is a banner that reads 2019 Dolphins leading rusher Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's impossible.
It's unbelievable.
All right, we're going to get to Stugatz's weekend observations in a second, but before we do that, can someone just please explain to me why I walked into that room, and I don't want to be corporate. We don't have HR around here. But I walked into that room, and somebody shouted, "Oh, the jack-off!"
Jess, do you know what we're talking about?
I did listen to the show last week.
Okay,
I won't critique it like you did, though, Whittingham, when you came back.
Do you have critiques? I was hoping that we would do that. I want that to be a segment that we have around here. I would like your observations of times you got mad at the show and yelled at us. But before we do that, I want an explanation for why it is I walked into the room. And I believe it was Whittingham doing like... Jabril Peppers yesterday when he won the coin toss and he does the vigorous fist pump and he yelled, what did he yell? Bleep yeah or
he yelled,
something.
Boom, we want that ball. F him.
Yeah, the best celebration of a coin toss we've ever seen yesterday. And the Giants roar out to a 1-3 season under Joe Judge winning the coin toss.
How does he have that swaggering confidence still as a Giant?
It was a nice moment. And I still don't understand why it is that anyone in that room was shouting the things that you were shouting and why that was happening. Because we should be better planned than we are. We've got a lot of people. There's a lot going on around here. How does it happen that you guys forgot about the jack-off?
Yeah, so for the audience that perhaps doesn't listen to every episode of this show, we were during the local hour discussing a Miami media beef between Jason Jackson, the new radio voice of the Miami Heat, who will be hosting a roast celebrating Dan Le Batard very soon, and Barry Jackson, who covers the South Florida sports scene, all of it, for the Miami Herald. And there was a little bit of a back and forth about the University of Miami, maybe a hullabaloo we can call this. But Chris Cody then proclaims, well, if they're having beef online, we should do it on the air, and we'll call it the jack-off. Yeah. And so tomorrow on the guest list 8:30 a.m. tomorrow, Jason Jackson will be joining us. And so Tony remarked from the back of the room, it's time for the jack-off.
One half of the jack-off we have ready, right? Yeah. We need to get the other half. We need to find Barry Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Will he do it, though? That'll be good. That would be a good segment if we had them arguing about what? What would they be arguing about? What were they jacking off about in the paper?
Hurricanes, Dan. It was the Kirk Herbstreit thing that he quoted Barry Jackson, and then Jason Jackson came back, and Barry Jackson said, that's not the thing. Jack-off.
Yeah, it was about like how much the University of Miami administration cares about what's happening right now. And so Barry Jackson quoted a trustee saying that there like isn't a lot of people that care. And, you know, it's not really a priority for the administration. The president doesn't care about football. And Jason Jackson, who has some inside sources, said that's not the case. And so it was a bit of a tizzy.
So we have Jason. Has anyone reached out to Barry?
Well, but no, but this is a good segment. We need to do this because this is we need to jack off.
Yeah.
The name, kind of, though, is probably what's holding up the jack off because you got to convince.
Well, you guys forgot, though. Clearly, you guys clearly forgot because I walked in there. How does this happen tomorrow? You're telling me we're talking to Jason Jackson tomorrow and you guys forgot about the jack off. How is it that that happens? Like, how we've got a lot of planning, we got a lot of structure, we got corporate people.
I mean, it seems fairly obvious. We discussed it on the air. You have one of the Jacksons on, you need two for a jack off. I mean, where's Barry?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes we just say things, though. Right. And then it's not known as just something that we're actually jacking off. No.
We don't expect that to be an actionable item.
No. This is I hate this about you though, Billy. No, it's not just sometimes us saying things. We always want the jack off. Our show will never not be the show that needs to jack off.
Yeah, but it's just, does Barry want to jack off?
Right. You know,
like, that's good question. Right.
Was it on the calendar? Jack off?
I mean, you don't know until you ask, though, right? I mean, no one's asked him yet.
Ask him to jack off?
Yes.
Let's do that, shall we?
I normally text Barry Jackson about very serious subject matters.
No, he's a serious journalist, but this is a good... Look, let me backtrack for a second. I'm wounded that Highly Questionable, the show that we did on ESPN for a while, has now adopted the name Debatable. It's like, come on. To represent me, just any,
really?
Just anything else. Just anything other than, come on, that's not the show I did.
It seems like they named it that to piss you off.
I mean, it hurts. If they did, it worked.
An elaborate troll job.
If they did, you got me. Like, that does hurt. If it was only the pettiness, I'm like respect. Like, you got me where it hurts because I don't want to be debatable. Like, that's not, that's.
So your show would be like, take it or leave it.
You just want to jack off.
Yes, and they wouldn't let me at ESPN. Why? Disney! Why wouldn't you let me just jack off? Time now for Stugatz's weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by X-Chair. Your body and your work deserve the best office chair in the world. Trade up to X-Chair at xchairdlb.com. Dan, they got off to one of the most embarrassing starts in NFL history. Three losses that included three trips to the red zone and a total of 20 points. Things seem hopeless, but with a big home win over a team playing without its two best wide receivers and a coach determined to leave MetLife Stadium with a tie, they defied the odds and themselves. And Dan,
yes,
just like that,
yes,
my New York Jets are back. Sam Darnold, please. Bunch of garbage stats yesterday. See what he looked like against a good team? Exactly. Wisconsin had -2 yards in the first quarter against Michigan. I gained more yards sitting on my couch than Wisconsin did playing in the actual game. When Wisconsin is down 10, they should just call the game. Wisconsin down 10 is like other teams being down 40. Jim Harbaugh, do it against Ohio State. Good news for the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw said his playoff status, quote, doesn't look great. One of the most jarring things I've ever seen is Wisconsin going 68 yards in 16 seconds. Did you see it? 16 seconds. Arkansas, you had an exam over the weekend and you got a big fat F. Let Alabama, they did. That was an embarrassment.
I mean, yeah, it was.
Believe in that team.
You did?
I don't know why.
Well, it's because Spencer Hall told everybody they were whomping. We fell in love for a minute for Arkansas not being the bottom of that conference, and then they fooled us.
Let Alabama and Georgia play a best of three, and let's call it a day. Whoever said this was going to be the best college football weekend ever is a dumbass.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Just let's have that be the season. Alabama and Georgia, 2 out of 3. Would you sign up? Just wipe out the rest of the season and make it that. Would you sign up for that right now?
I think everyone would.
I don't want to watch Alabama win twice.
By the way, I think it was Spencer Hall who said that.
What I say, Spencer Hawes?
No. I think the joke was that...
Yeah. Whoever said this was going to be the best college football game ever.
I'm dumbass. Sorry, I forgot.
Think it was,
yes,
yeah, I
okay,
think it was Spencer Hawes.
Yes.
I love the idea of college football expert Spencer Hawes.
Lane Kiffin, before Alabama and Ole Miss, told me to go get my popcorn ready. So I did.
Yeah, you can't do
that. And by the time I got back, the game was over.
Yeah.
The Ohio State Slither back to the playoff has begun. Speaking of Ohio State and Slither, Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
The U in Urban stands for OOG.
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 OOG. OOG.
OOG. Whatever. Gross.
Yeah.
Dan, after unforeseen events that occurred over this past weekend, I have shocking news. I have been forced to change my top 5 golf shots of all time.
This is shocking.
I'm sad to say, as I said earlier, Tom Watson, out of the sand, 82 open. You've been removed.
This is very dramatic. This needs the fanfare. Billy's complaining about these things don't have the fanfare, these big moments. You changing your top 5 golf shots of all time deserves some fanfare. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. I haven't done it since 2019. Number 5. Larry Mize, 87 Masters, playoff, 11th hole, the chip. Number 4, Jack Nicklaus, the Golden Bear, 86 Masters, 16th hole, hit it flush so well, he said he didn't have to look at it. Number 3. He knew where it was going. Number 3.
I can't believe there are 3 shots better than this one.
Tiger Woods, the chip at the 16th hole, 2005 Masters. Number 2, Mike Ryan, 2019, Parkland Golf and Country Club, 11th hole, par 3, about 110 yards. With a driver.
I can't believe this.
Stuck it 5 inches.
I can't believe
from this. From the hole.
So you're saying there's a better shot than that. You're not just saying that Tom Watson fell out of your top 5. You're saying there's a new number 1.
This past Friday, on the 10th hole of Parkland Golf and Country Club, on a somewhat rainy afternoon, and after 3 Bloody Marys with his 4th in hand, and after singing the hits into the grip of his golf club as if it were a microphone from 130 yards out in a best ball match between me and him and Chris and Mike on a hole that we were certain to lose, Greg Cody finally swung the club and drained the shot to break his son's heart and have the hole. It was the most amazing thing. It never went in the air. It was 130 yards out. He mishit it. Chris was standing right next to the hole, his son. It was rolling up to the green. And Chris gave the look that it was going in. And I said, no bleeping way. with a Bloody Mary in hand right after he took his shot.
That's unbelievable.
It rolled into the hole, Dan, and we all celebrated. Even Chris, whose heart was broken.
All of you were there. All of you. Who was there?
It was proof
of this.
Yeah, it was me, Chris, Mike, and Greg. I doubt Greg remembers. It's the greatest shot ever. And it halved the hole. It was so clutch. I remember telling him right beforehand, don't swing the club. Just, there's no point. We've lost the hole. Let's move on to the next hole. He goes, Stu, I got this.
No.
Singing.
No, he's not Joe Burrow. that's not how that happened. This is another one of your, this is a hammered. Whopper. No, no, hammered. No.
By the way, he told us, revealed to us, showed us the big toenail. It's ready.
Okay.
I'm cutting it tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Exciting. I have no idea if Georgia has beaten anyone good. Florida should still make it to the playoff.
Here we go.
Based on their 2-point loss to Alabama. Matt Corral, look on the bright side. You've already had your welcome to the NFL moment. You know what Georgia's D did, Dan?
Shut them out.
Yeah, they pitched a shutout. Good. Yeah. Paying attention. Odd to have three teams in the top 10 lose in college football and no chaos.
No
zero.
Chaos. Okay. Well, because not, well, chaos. I mean, Penn State, Iowa, and Cincinnati is disastrous chaos, is it not?
I guess. Old Gunnar Schlockshear has to be sacked in the morning. Manchester United, worse with Cristiano Ronaldo. Man, you. Whoever questioned the Georgia defense on the show last week is a moron. I believe it was Spencer Hall.
Spencer Hawes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. What am I doing to Spencer? I mean, I'm taking all my bad takes. That's what I'm doing to Spencer, actually. My bad takes are now going to Spencer Hawes. When Wisconsin is forced to pass, quarterbacks end up in the hospital. Arkansas, Mississippi, noon, Saturday, otherwise known as the loser's bracket. John Ross is a giant. Josh Reynolds is a titan. Sam Darnold can scoot. The Jets' visit to the red zone in the second quarter against the Titans was their fourth visit to the red zone the entire season. I hate them, but then I love them.
Yeah,
that's the relationship I have with them. Sam Darnold has more rushing touchdowns than the Jets have touchdowns. I hate them.
Do you want to hope? You can hope today. Do you want to hope? Your quarterback had your quarterback had a fourth quarter.
Yeah, we're getting to the easy part of my schedule. Yes.
You're getting ready to get cocky again?
I am. Dalton Schultz is a cyborg. So is Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge with the rare walk-off and walk-in. How about that? Walked into the playoffs.
That's right.
Kenneth Gainwell.
you proud of that
I
one?
I had to explain that to you. Yeah, I don't know why I felt the need.
So they walked off. Okay, you get they it. Walked yeah. off. And
there's
then
layers
they walked.
To this, Dan. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so many Jesus of them. It's such a labyrinth.
Kenneth Gainwell. Guess what I'm going to say about Kenneth Gainwell?
That's a good name for a running back.
Bingo. You're good at this. It's also a lot of expectation and pressure, isn't it? I think your name Kenneth Gainwell.
You have to be good as a running back.
You have to gain well. Yeah. You do.
Fair enough.
After bouncing around the NFL.
There was a Greedy Williams out there yesterday and, you know, greedy about turnovers. Which is the better football name at Lebatard Show? Put those against each other.
I think it's Gainwell. After bouncing around the NFL, you know what it seems like Cordarrelle Patterson has done in Atlanta, Dan?
It's Cordarrelle.
Whatever.
Cordarrelle.
It seems like he's found a home. The ATL.
That's funny to watch, right? Running back, wide receiver, hybrid. Oh, the cornerbacks are too small because he's got a giant ass. And hey, he gets a lot of touchdowns for the last little drips of Matt Ryan's career.
This is Arthur Smith's proxy for Derrick Henry. Cordarrelle Patterson.
But I mean, he's got a ton of touchdowns. Like, he's the only one who scores anything for them.
I spent a good portion of my time from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern yesterday walking around my house saying, poor Davis Mills. No one loves overtime more than Mike Vrabel. OT. John Franklin Myers. Menace. Matthew Stafford. Blah, blah, blah. Hawaii. Enough of Stafford. Hawaii.
That's it?
Listen, You want some more? Sean McVay. Blah, blah, blah. Enough of the two of them. Anyway.
They're in the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, who's terrible.
He destroyed the Bucks.
What do you mean? What has Stafford done? I hear this whole pairing McVay and Stafford and a different Stafford and a different McVay. No, it's the same Stafford. It's the same McVay.
The same Stafford is good, though. He just didn't have anyone else on his team in Detroit.
Stafford's not making it to the Super Bowl. They're not making it to the Super Bowl. They're not winning the Super Bowl.
They were made the favorites last week. Las Vegas made.
How do they look now?
The Rams, the favorites last week. Not the Chiefs, not the Bucks. The Rams were the favorites. That's the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's fairly shocking, is it not? That's the money thinking McVay knows something the rest of us don't about what Stafford actually can be in that offense. And you can't game plan for Kyler Murray. I don't care how smart McVay is. There's not a game plan for that. Oh, A.J. Green's a lot bigger than my cornerbacks, and Kyler's just going to run around for a few minutes. And, hey, that's A.J. Green in the end zone. he's really good. There's no game planning for it. What do you do? Isn't that what you saw yesterday?
You don't make the Rams the favorite because they're not. That's what you do. I mean, was the money watching yesterday? Don't you think the money's changed today? Don't you think there's a new favorite in the NFL? Do you think it's still the Rams? Blah, blah, blah.
It's the Cardinals. It's right. Tony's beloved. They're the best team in the NFL, Cardinals.
I'm not sure how smart this McVay is, honestly. Right,
exactly. We're on to you. I've been keeping my eye on him for a while, Billy. I told you that.
I currently have my eye on him, yeah.
Wait a minute. Why is your eye on him, though? He got to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff.
Yeah, 4 years ago. Exactly. Me lately.
Living off of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone can make a Super
Bowl. Do it with someone else. Hawaii.
Anyone can make a Super Bowl, he says. We've spent 20 years with the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins not winning a playoff game. Anyone can win a Super Bowl.
I want a playoff game.
You're the only one. I want you guys to understand that the Jets are the shining example for excellence in that division beyond the Patriots.
Mark Sanchez was too good to be in that other room we were talking about.
For 20 years, much too handsome, much too good. It's got to be led by Fitzpatrick. Mark Sanchez is the cream of the division, not named Brady. I want you people to understand what we watched last night. It was a celebration of 20 years of shit football in Miami, Buffalo, and with the Jets. Remarkably shit football.
I heard an interview with Seth Wickersham about his new book about the Patriots. Did you know that Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski were a response to the Jets? That during an offseason, Bill Belichick sat around going, we need to find an answer for the Jets. I was stunned by that. That's their greatest moment in the history of the franchise.
Rex Ryan and his fake teeth are all over your television because of those 2 years that represent the excellence of the division. A coach with a foot fetish. Look at what Rex Ryan's got to be in the room. Is Rex Ryan not in the room?
No, he's too good.
He coached two of the three teams.
He went to two AFC championship games.
But he's too good for the room.
Yeah, so is Sanchez. Yeah.
What?
The Jets are the cream of the division, not named the Patriots.
Nick Mangold is still getting commercials off of this. I saw it finally.
Bud Light Seltzer, he's got the most amazing agent in the history of Hollywood.
Bart Scott's got a national radio show.
He's a center.
Can't wait.
He's a center. Quit giving Mangold commercials.
How did that happen for him?
Because it's the cream of the division, not named Brady and Belichick. The Jets represent winning in that division that's not the Patriots. That's how bad the division has been for 20 years. Rex Ryan, Nick Mangold, and Mark Sanchez are the cream of the division, not named the Patriots.
Bart Scott has our radio show.
Fitzpatrick played for every team in the division! Bart Scott is part of 10 hours of Jets coverage now on ESPN Radio daily. I can't imagine what those shows are today. And Stephen A. Smith in the morning as well.
Debatable.
I didn't think Matthew Stafford blah, blah, blah would generate all this.
I'm sorry.
That was fantastic. Where was I? Hawaii.
Blah, 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 blah.
No, Hawaii.
They did what they do.
On behalf of college football fans everywhere, thank you for always being there for us.
You don't want Fresno State. Cover. Why don't you? Okay, but you don't even want Fresno State.
Did you hear my college football record?
A disputed 3-8.
Yeah.
Betting Charlotte football.
That was a winner. Big winner.
Charlotte over the fight. That was one of his winners.
The 49ers.
You simply don't know anything other than that about Charlotte.
The 49ers.
There's simply no other fact that you could give me about that football team. There's not. Not one. We could wait here for the rest of time. We could let him search the internet. He will not find anything about that football team.
They covered.
One of his three wins, picking 10 games. Why are you picking so many games?
I don't know.
It's 5 games a week. Yeah.
Who gave you Charlotte?
Trying to think.
You're just stealing picks now.
Who
are you cheating with? Well, first of all, how's your record so bad if you're cheating? And how are you cheating? Tell us how you're cheating. There's no way you're just picking Charlotte. Is the bear giving you information secretly in the shadows?
I think the bear laughed at me when I told him Charlotte. I tried to feed the bear Charlotte. I said I got it from someone on the inside. I was texting him during game day. I go, throw Charlotte up there.
Do you people not see how dangerous all these gambling alliances are? Stu Gotz is in bed with everybody.
Can't remember who told me.
He's going to contaminate all of sports and get us all arrested.
Tom Brady, the rare time a general won the war before he won the battle. How about that? If Belichick had Brady.
You know what? That's totally true.
It is. Usually it's the other way around. You win a battle first, right?
I hadn't looked at it that way.
That was excellent writing.
Thank you.
It's a poignant observation.
I am stunned by what just happened. That right there is if 1,000 monkeys bang on 1,000 typewriters for 1,000 centuries, somebody's going to write Shakespeare. You just wrote a poem. Stugatz just took Wickersham's book and wiped his ass with it. You just told the story.
Bill Belichick, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Brady, he wins that game.
How did you start? Read that again, please. Can we go back there for a second? Because I want to enjoy the
Matthew Stafford.
The idiot Belichick.
Blah, blah, blah. Yes. Tom Brady. The rare time a general won the war before he won the battle. You like that, huh?
I mean,
impressed the writer.
I have tears in my eyes. It's like seeing a child graduate. He wrote a proper and poetic sentence. He went to the trough where everyone was dining last night, and Stugatz is the one who emerges with the pearl. Yes, yes, you told the story. People were watching last night and did not notice that Brady broke the all-time passing yard record because of that observation right there. Yes, let's watch General Brady come in here and conquer Belichick one more time and prove it to him that he... Oh, God, that's funny. It's just perfect.
It also still doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter. That doink you heard off the goalpost was a symbolic sound representing how Belichick has handled the entire Tom Brady situation.
It did seem to be like a louder noise that came from the
super
post.
Loud
it seems like the microphone was placed
why
at
was
exactly
it so
the
loud?
Point from the post.
You know, it was suspiciously loud in that stadium where suspicious things happen over the 20 years. One of them not noticed very often is just how shitty the rest of the AFC East was for 20 years. How did that hide in plain sight that way? Why was that not celebrated? You realize that he got to go in as a general just because the battlefield was littered with losers.
J.P. Lossman.
That's right. Fitzpatrick in 3 different disguises.
Nathan Peterman.
Oh, my God.
They should have won more.
They underachieved. The Patriots underachieved. I am with you. I want that take today. Debatable. I want that take. You do the poetry and I'll do that. Yes. Let's get the viral clip. I believe the Patriots have underachieved.
Witching hour. That was one hell of a ride. Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
He, for some reason, would do a Gary Stevens impersonation of the offensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins and the University of Miami. Go ahead. Do you want to do that for the people? Your Gary Stevens impersonation? You want to give people some of that? 30 years in the making.
Stugatz.
What? Who needs me?
Oh, that?
What? You've done that my whole life. You're going to go to Buffalo and win with Bernie Pomeli? Who needs me?
This is the Don Lebatar Show with the Stugatz.
We were talking last week, Stugatz, about fragrances and scents and colognes and commercials and Johnny Depp commercials. And I saw on John Oliver something that I had not seen before. I don't know why I hadn't seen it, but I found both creepy and amazing. Adam Driver shirtless, sprinting next to a horse on the beach to sell me Burberry. I had never seen this commercial, and because he's got a bit of an Ichabod Crane gait, like he runs like Whittingham if Whittingham were 6'4" and like an Amazon man. Because I had never seen. Oh, Jessica, are you seeing this for the first time?
That was a great comparison. This is how Whittingham ran during that race against Chris Cody.
But I just don't understand the entire commercial. Okay, Adam Driver, brought to us by Lena Dunham in Girls, right? That was his star turn. Is now, yeah.
Well, it, famously from South Bend, Indiana.
God,
little known fact.
What is the point of that?
Famously, little known fact from South Bend, Indiana.
Why the South Bend pride about shirtless Adam Driver as I talk about him sprinting on a beach with a horse selling us Burberry?
Can you tell us more about Mayor Pete, too, or are we done with the South Bend Facts Hour?
Jeez. We could talk about Mayor Pete. Dean Norris, also from South Bend.
Who?
Why are we doing this?
Who's the biggest bandwagon Notre Dame fan? Because I saw Joey Chestnut was there this weekend,
yeah,
taking pictures, and I was
there.
Like, what is Joey Chestnut doing there?
I can't believe we played so bad in front of Joey Chestnut. That is
your team's not any good. Your team can't block anybody.
Why didn't he go to the Wisconsin game, Dan, in front of Joey Chestnut?
Jaws.
Thank you, Stugatz.
You got it.
You really got in there with some vigor. Excellent work
by
you.
It was necessary.
As always.
A lot of rib from Adam Driver in this commercial.
But
he's got a lot of rib.
You mean Adam has a lot of rib? Maybe he should give one to Eve.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, jeez. One more.
I ruined this segment. We're like 3 minutes in. Like, this isn't even what Dan wanted to talk about.
Bible jokes.
Notre Dame, of course. Of course, that's what you're going to get. The proud golden domer. An Adam and Eve joke. Oh.
Where were you going?
I mean, where I was going is that Rocky IV, this is the Stugatz wheelhouse, the one and only Stugatz movie wheelhouse. I'm stunned that you have not brought this up today, that you didn't skip into work today. In November, one night only showing is coming. One night only of Rocky IV with 40 minutes of unseen footage.
Oh, my God.
Of Drago and Sylvester Stallone. And if Stallone puts a cast around there to answer questions and stuff, people will dine on that nostalgia. It's a new, Stallone is changing the streaming game by going to theaters with 40 minutes of Rocky IV that you have not seen? Will you go? Will you be someone who gets there for that night to see? You've been in a theater. When's the last time you were in a theater?
I can't remember the last time I was in a movie theater. Yes, that is something that would get me to go out to a theater if they were doing it somewhere near me. That's amazing, because when I rank the Rockies, Rocky IV is number one. I know it sounds crazy, but Rocky IV is one. Rocky III is number two. Two is number two. And one is number four. That's how it works for me. Rocky was the worst of the Rocky
five
movies.
Five didn't exist.
Right. Five. I didn't. I mean, please.
Five. It went from four to six. Yes.
Went from four to Creed.
There was no Rocky six. All right. Let's do the funniest thing from the sports weekend.
Hey, people. Tell us what in the sport made you laugh hardest this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend. Ha, ha, ha.
Bonus Rocky IV.
40 minutes, guys.
It's amazing.
It's got to be a third of the movie.
So excited.
How do you dress it up? It's not going to be just 40 minutes, right? He's going to make something around it, so it's special, correct? And it's a one night. It's a little cash grab, prostitution cash grab.
Right.
Because here, 40 minutes. He can do this. He can do this probably with all six of them, or right? All the ones. Couldn't he do this
with four in Creed, you mean? Yeah. Yeah, you can't do it with five. I mean,
he can't make
five. No one's showing up for five. Even if Stallone's there signing autographs until 5 a.m, no one's coming. I mean, bad movie, Dip.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Would you watch Rocky V if Sylvester Stallone were performing it in your home? You walk into another room. get him out.
Rejected.
Please leave.
No, I don't want
Tony,
this.
What was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Guys, it's really hard to play quarterback in the NFL, but not as hard as Davis Mills made it look. 1 for 7, 3 yards, 2 picks, 26 lost yards due to sacks.
Stugatz isn't laughing at this. Stugatz,
so
the rare compassion and empathy. Yeah. It was stunning for you not to laugh at somebody there. Most people are laughing at how bad he is, and of course, one of my thoughts is, oh my God, what a misery to be that guy in that sport, in that huddle, in that locker room where everyone knows you stink at your job.
You're headed into that game, Dan. You know you don't have a chance. Like, he knew he did not have a chance, and it played out exactly the way I thought it was going to play out, with him being that bad and then winning 40-0. Like, I felt bad for him.
It made me think. I mean, I know it's stupid. There was a camera angle on Aaron Rodgers yesterday with one of the cameras that are right on the field, right up in their faces, and they show you the size of the Gladiator crowd, and it's 100,000 people, and all of us watching this as we criticize, he should have thrown it there, should have thrown it there. We shit ourselves if we had to perform anything in front of this many people. And anything, like, just go out and say a sentence. Go to midfield and say a sentence. And now it's not just that, but it's everyone running around you at a ridiculous rate of speed, and all of them trying to hurt you, and somehow trying to find a serenity inside that. That shit's crazy.
It is.
What we're watching on Sundays, and all of us talking about it the next day, who say we could have done better, all of us would poop ourselves because we don't have nearly the amount of confidence that these people have at what they do for a living.
I don't know if you've been watching Tony on the Instagram stories.
It's basketball, though. It's different, you know.
Billy, I can't see you behind the mask. How annoyed are you? How annoyed are you at this point by Tony's Instagram stories?
I mean, you're impressed. Say it. You're impressed.
I don't
you don't like it, but you're impressed. Say it.
I feel bad for you.
Wow.
Why?
Because it's just like, let's let it go. You know?
Let what go?
We're not going to make it to the NBA.
Well, I mean,
dream. Just let it go. Yeah,
I mean, I wasn't going to make it to the NBA. Maybe I got a 10-day somewhere in me. Tony 10-day.
Oh, God.
You don't, though.
Oh, my God.
But maybe.
Tony 10-day.
Could happen.
Billy, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
I hope it does.
There was a person holding an umbrella for Rodney Harrison.
It was so good. It was so good. What is that person called? Diddy had one of had a guy who held his umbrella, and he had a famous name. Pablo brought this up yesterday because the photo was so funny.
Bentley something, right?
Diddy had for a while a guy, Farnsworth. He would walk behind him. It was the
Farnsworth Bentley.
It was the head of of opulence, the height of opulence. And yes, there was Rodney Harrison, known cheater across voice of football in America, known cheater in the sport.
Well, it just looks so much worse because he stood next to three people who are holding their own umbrellas, and so it just makes it seem like Rodney Harrison made the ask during a commercial break. Can someone hold this umbrella for me?
But Rodney was more adamant. Like, he needed to use both hands. He was passionate about the game, having been a former Patriot, you know?
He also kept walking away from the umbrella.
Yes. Because
he was very emphatic, yes. And I was kind of wondering, were there instructions that only the hand can be shown on that umbrella, and that's why he's now walking out into the rain, or what are we doing here? Because very poor umbrella-holding form by the umbrella holder.
Holding an umbrella for another person is very difficult. That is a hard job. That might be the hardest job on that whole production crew staff.
I would say, though, holding an umbrella for two people, harder than holding an umbrella for another person. It's really hard. You have to get the height right. Got to get the angle right so you're covering two people. You kind of have to walk in close proximity. You're kind of penguin walking to make sure that you're not too far to the range of the umbrella.
And you're getting
soaked. Very, very difficult. Yeah.
Tough job.
I love the symbolism. Amid all of the excellence of the story last night, Stugatz, because it's going to get the monster number of all numbers, storyline, Brady goes back, 20 years of excellence being celebrated, and possibly at 44 years old, through cheating scandals that will sell Seth Wickersham's book. It's a monster. It's a big-ass book. And Brady and Belichick went out of their way yesterday to say nothing is true. All fake news. Anything that you hear about us that's not hugs and love over 20 years, all untrue. And they march as one of the most secretive teams we've ever seen with a murderer on their roster. A murderer on their roster across 20 years of excellence being celebrated there off to the side. Cashy's cashing his own checks, not unlike Brewski. Which one of you guys played Brewski? I didn't want to say that. Okay. Brewski's fantasy team evidently is just all Patriots.
Of course it is.
That's all he picks, yes.
Why wouldn't he? Right.
And off to the side, Rodney Harrison, cheater, dirty player, one of the best broadcasting jobs in America with somebody holding his umbrella. You made it, Rodney. You congrats.
Rodney.
I mean, Rodney, congratulations for getting your grift on near the cash register that were Brady and Belichick and getting one of those primo jobs that we're always willing to give to another guy. Jessica, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
UConn Vanderbilt. The full cast After Dark crew all was in attendance. They paid $1 for tickets. The StubHub fees were actually more expensive than the tickets themselves. And the visual of my dear friend Ryan Nanny, who hired me at my first ever sports media job, watching Kentucky beat Florida on his phone from the stands of the UConn Vandy game in driving rain was pretty funny.
We need to come back to that podcast, Stugatz, because it is a lot of fun that those folks are having full cast after midnight, and you should listen to it.
And the game ended up being incredible. Ended on a field goal by Vanderbilt. They snapped their 8-game home losing streak. UConn still 0-6, probably one of the worst teams in college football.
Wildly uninteresting game. They did it it was irony. How many people are there? Many people that go and buy the dollar tickets there? That's the bottom of football.
It was also pouring rain. And there were multiple other better games on, and they committed to the bit.
All four of them are better.
Yeah.
Well, yes, correct.
That was the worst game.
But the ending was exciting.
It can't be exciting.
It was.
Not when those two teams get together.
I didn't want either team to lose. No. That was what was funny. It came down to the last kick, and I was like, I don't even know who I want to lose this game. I feel bad for both of them.
I was trying to find this game because the full cast After Dark crew had hyped it so much. It's on ESPNU. Just feels like ESPNU is where sad games go to live in infamy.
Yeah.
We lived on ESPNU for a number of years.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Is ESPNU where sad games go to live? Is that what you said?
Yeah, live in infamy, I think it was the phrase I used.
Now Bart Scott lives there.
Jets football daily, permeating all of your ESPN radio lineup because you can't get more sportsy than New York Jets football. Again, the kings of the division, not named the Patriots. It's amazing. I, honest to God, I feel like this is the story today that no one else is covering. Stugatz. I feel like our show on Being Losers fighting across 20 years of who's better, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Mark Sanchez? And the answer is just no! No, goddamn you, no! No!
No one even put no! up a fight. I mean,
no, we had Marino! It's like Shula! We just buried Shula at perfect season! No! Am I wrong?
You're right.
Winningham, am I wrong? You're a loser.
Yeah. Multiple fronts.
I'm just saying, that's how you experience your Sundays. You are covered in barbed wire because you're like, and this can't make me care anymore. They've been doing nothing but desecrating how much I care about sports for as long as I remember caring about sports.
Yeah, it's the same for the college game, too. I only really got into the University of Miami after they won their championship in 01. Really, when I started going to the school, which was like 09, 010, or 09, 10.
You were 9!
Yeah, I was 9 when UM won a championship last
year. Fairweather fan.
You were 9 when Miami did any winning at football. There was a 10-0 season that was a total fraud from Mark Richt.
Yeah. But I was also 12 when I experienced the Orange Bowl tub trough urinal for the first time.
I'm so sorry.
Wow. Yeah.
You missed out.
I mean, I was 14 the last time any of my teams won a championship. 14. I mean, I'm 49, man.
I was too. Oh, wait. No, the Cubs won 3 years ago. Sorry, never mind.
I mean,
this is a
I was
going
to say I was 14 and then be like, well, I was only 11 years ago.
But
like,
it was this,
nobody wants
to. No, it was
nobody
just,
wants please
to
leave.
Nobody, wow. To the ocean?
Do you have the authority?
No,
the
I don't. Sir. I just don't need to hear this today.
He's in a bad mood. I
but what's he gloating about? This was the worst weekend of the year for you.
That's a good point.
What are you gloating about? There was no worse weekend. Are you masking an insecurity here because your teams got just dragged?
No, I'm back in Miami. I had like several cafecitos this morning and I feel good to be back.
Oh, forgive me about this. People were clamoring for this. If I come back to you at the end of this for an F1 minute from the last 2 weeks, do you have something for us? You're unprepared for this. Okay. No one's clamoring for this.
Oh, I'm clamoring. I want to hear what Jess's thoughts on what happened in Sochi.
Okay. So what do you have for funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Ben Roethlisberger. Every weekend until he retires. I don't need to see anymore. I'm just going to laugh at him until he retires.
Can you help me with something I'm imagining people are finding funny? There's news on this with Urban Meyer now that's just breaking right now. And I'm uncomfortable laughing at this person, even as I'm rooting against this person. It's a weird feeling for me because I don't root very often in sports for the misery of others. And I've been sort of enjoying mercenary savior, greasy guy who has made, you know, a lot of money off of the injustices in this sport and the things that pay just people like him to be CEOs. And if he goes back to college soullessly in a little while, anyone will hire him.
Yes.
In a moment because of what he did at Florida where there was a murderer! A murderer. This is the excellence in football across the last 20 years in the state as Brady comes back and is the only good football thing we have here, college or pro. Anyway, from Jacksonville to Miami, from the University of Miami, maybe what, Central Florida? Is it Tampa Bay? The state of Florida, proud football state, our second best team in the last 20 years behind these Tampa Bay Bucks of the last year is what? Across 20 years. That's how bad the football and Jacoby Brissett and everything that's happening around here has been this for so long. It's a misery.
Well, I think, yeah, the Bucks win a second Super Bowl, right? They've won two Super Bowls. So
yeah,
the Bucks are the best thing down here. The Lightning.
Gruden, the Lightning. Well, I mean, we're talking about football.
No, I know.
Yeah. I mean, the late aughts Gators teams of Tim Tebow, the Florida State team with Jameis Winston.
Yes, that was a good one. That was and everyone cashes in, right?
Yeah.
Jimbo goes and cashes in. It's all going to the SEC now. They're going to create a minor league beneath that, and all the guys are going to go get their money. Urban Meyer will fit right in over there. They're not going to care. Another personality to sell on the best network that's giving you football. It's not the NFL, right? Because the SEC, this network's going to be obviously a monster, and it's going to be much better than all these other schools we're laughing at today. Cincinnati, biggest win of school history. We're laughing. Iowa, important, never mattered like this. We're laughing. In Penn State, James Franklin's been decent there. They rebounded from unspeakable horror, worst sports scandal in the history of the sport. They're nationally relevant.
They are, but no one's taking them seriously. So,
because they've done this a couple of times.
They've done it a few times, and really it's Alabama and Georgia. Let's just see that game.
But you realize how that it are you guys not fairly amazed by what has happened, where the best of that sport, where there is the most money, has now produced it and distilled it, so your best football will only be found there, and you will laugh every time a Wisconsin makes an appearance, because why would anyone go to Wisconsin? It's a regional sport that's huge in this vibrant area of the South, and it is a factory for football, and will get you to the pros and the NFL and the big money league of Sunday through Ed Orgeron selling his soul over here, and now Georgia's relevant over there, and you're looking and you're watching Georgia and you're like, oh, none of the Penn State, get them out of here, get Iowa out of here, combine all those teams, and you're not going to beat what Georgia has on its front seven.
Right. I've been searching for that third team this entire year. I thought it was going to be Oregon, and then they lose to Stanford.
I don't know how they lost that game. Mario Cristobal goes from I'm watching the end of that game, and I'm mesmerized at how poorly Mario Cristobal is throwing away the football game against a Stanford team that had no right to beat him, and then a backup quarterback comes in and then drags him at the end of the game.
It's always been his reputation.
No, but Cristobal, that's from one week to the other. You go from beating Urban Meyer's school program that he made matter, which is why he'll get hired anywhere, no matter what his character is and no matter how many things. He had a murderer on his roster. A murderer! He put Tebow's halo over that.
Mm-hmm.
And that team got arrested more than like any in the history of the sport, and I went to Miami.
The Percy Harvin teams?
I mean, Percy Harvin.
Tame by comparison.
Everybody was terrified of him. He punched a teammate during a Super Bowl or before a Super Bowl game, and no one talks about it. Your beloved Golden Tate, I think. No one talks about Percy Harvin before a Super Bowl game.
We don't give Tim Tebow enough credit for holding that entire program together.
That was the plan, though, but that was the plan. Urban got Tim Tebow and said, hey, just focus on me and this quarterback over here and don't pay attention to the rest.
So what's the latest news? Because I want to laugh at Urban Meyer, but I imagine this kind of misery. I mean, there's a wife hurting today, I would imagine, unless they have like an open relationship like Will Smith. He's doing the magazine tours and he's fascinating talking about his relationship and just the growth that he's done as a man, and he's in an open relationship and doesn't care if you know it. And if that's where the Myers are, then that's where they are. But if they're not, his wife right now must be mortified at everyone talking about things like this, where he's in a bar. That's his bar in Ohio, is it? It's a bunch of margaritas at his bar. And now what I was wondering last night, Stugatz, how are they going to handle this from a PR perspective? Right. Because they've got a mercenary that they've brought in. How do you handle this as a public relations crisis where it just looks like your coach is getting hammered and cheating on his wife in a way that everyone can see? That's what it looks like to people.
That's what it looks like. He stood up there with the Jacksonville Jaguars logo behind him, and he delivered an apology and a press conference and an explanation. That's what. Now, whether you believe him or not, most people probably don't, but that's what Urban Meyer decided to do, and the Jaguars decided to do today.
Yeah, it's from ESPN's Michael DeRocco. He says that Urban Meyer stood in front of the media and said he apologized to his team for being a distraction, said he was at an event and people tried to get him on the dance floor and he should have left, said he never should have put himself in that situation.
But did he apologize to his wife? Did he apologize to embarrassing his wife?
Now, there was a follow-up question about whether or not his family said anything, and he just said they're upset. Yeah, that was all he had to offer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a person who got hired over. You saw how tone deaf it was that his strength coach after the racial, the stuff we were talking about earlier with Draymond Green, Stugatz, where there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in America right now, and it seems trivial sometimes to come in here and talk about the other stuff that we're talking about. But you got a whole lot of black bodies who are being shamed in the NBA into finally getting vaccinated just because their numbers were 10% lower than the WNBA's numbers and more vaccinated than the rest of the country, more vaccinated than just about any, but not vaccinated enough. And so largely black people are getting hammered right and left about, while not trusting necessarily the science or the government or America after everything that's happened with Colin Kaepernick and George Floyd and everything else. black people not trusting this thing is they're telling, you know, I'm free. You don't know what I overcame to get this body here. Look at what America does to the black body. Look at what America's police force does to the black body. Look at what America's politics does to the black body. Draymond Green says, no, man, get off me. You know what I had to do with this black body to get to where I got? After that summer, Urban Meyer hires a strength coach who was being racist to players. And everyone keeps cashing in. Strength coaches could get, that's how you become a professional in that sport. Go ahead. Just, are you getting the results? Doesn't matter. How are you getting results? Doesn't matter. I'll hire you in Jacksonville because I'm a mercenary. And now he's got this embarrassment. And he has said a number of times that his family keeps tugging him back, right? He said he left the University of Florida because he wasn't comfortable with how much he was compromising his principles. He said that publicly.
He wanted to spend more time with his family.
He talked about that a lot, about perspective, and he keeps getting dragged back in. And now Jacksonville made a big offer. He talked to Jimmy Johnson, couldn't decide whether, do I want to run in Texas the way Saban does? Jimmy Johnson told us Urban Meyer was considering the highest paid job in the sport. Go to Texas, run that place as a mercenary school, get Texas back in this SEC game now that they're going into that money, because Texas is about to get slaughtered. Texas is going to spend a couple of years getting crushed because they don't belong in this conference either. But they're coming for money, and he had that job option. He's like, nope, I'll run Jacksonville. I'm going to run this guy's. I need to test my ego in the pros. And now this weekend, you're not just 0-4. People aren't just noticing all of this about you and dragging you, smearing you as a character assassination. But then you go back to the roots of where you made your money. You go back to the roots that feel a little bit better than Jacksonville must. That must have felt good drinking those margaritas. And then now you've embarrassed your wife and it's being taken down. And now power will get in there and try and tear it apart. But what is the meat of what he's saying? He's not, because people, I don't think people are judging him because he's a distraction. Like he's in Paris. He's apologizing to the team in football. I think people are judging him because they're like, oh, look at you, what you just did to your wife.
No, he's apologizing. At least from the clip that I saw, he's apologizing to his players, to the team, and to his boss, to Shad Khan.
But what about his wife?
Probably the person he should be apologizing to. Not Trevor Lawrence.
That's what we're doing, isn't it? Like this is a coach hired as a genius and savior to be smarter than the others, to teach leadership, who has learned the mercenary way and profited greatly off it, can get any job he wants in America, chose between two of the best in either region, and chose this quarterback and Jacksonville. This is the height of mercenary CEO, the Saban labyrinth, all these coaches, all these guys that we put at the altar and celebrate as great leaders. I'm not trying to be dramatic here when I ask you, there's to my way of thinking, like and he can apologize in private. I don't mean to feel judgmental about this. His marriage is what it is, and I don't know what he did to his wife. But the culture of that kind of selfishness and myopia and masculinity that allows you to hire the strength coach who's racist, and that allows you to have protect a wife beater at Ohio State, like we talked about last week, as an assistant coach, in a way that the language we were talking about last week is, why is no one apologizing to the women that Urban Meyer was doing something at Ohio State? His coach was made a wife fear for her life,
mm-hmm.
and was protected by Urban Meyer, compromised principles, protecting program himself. Why? Because it pays. Protect the industry, protect the business, because look at the job that he got. Nobody cared. And when he got there, look at who he hired. And we had to shame him into firing his strength coach because he was going to out-tough him, Stugatz. That's what he was going to do. He was going to make the Jacksonville Jaguars with their strength coach tougher than the other guys, tougher than Kyler Murray.
At this stage, I know you're passionate about it. I don't really care who Urban Meyer apologizes to. Like, if he wants to apologize to his wife in public, fine. If he doesn't, fine. If he wants to do it privately, fine. I think we all have a pretty good idea of what Urban Meyer is, don't we? And the real sad part of this entire story is if Urban Meyer right this second decided, hey, I'm done with the Jags, I'm going back to college, there would be hundreds of universities lined up to sign him as their next head coach.
I don't think there are hundreds of universities who could hire him as their next head coach.
Technically, there are.
Right. Hundreds?
Technically.
I like the idea like of a Division III. Yeah, Division III school. The Coast Guard. We talked about them the other day. The Bears. That's right. Inexplicably, the Bears.
The boats. Bears, bad name for the Coast Guard.
Ready for my F1 minute?
Yes, let's do it. Did you have something prepared?
Yeah, I mean, it was a week ago, but my memory's pretty fresh. Okay. The heartbreak is fresh.
I will give you the timer here right now. Do you want to know when to start? I'll give it to you here.
Yep, give me a wave the flag, lights out.
Three, two, one.
All right, so the race was in Sochi, and baby Lando was on pole for the first time in his career. And let me remind you, the week before, McLaren finished 1-2 with Ricciardo and baby Lando in second place. So Verstappen had to start all the way from 20 because he had a grid penalty because he got a new engine. And Lewis, he had the opportunity to get a lot of points by winning and being far ahead of Verstappen because Verstappen was starting all the way from 20. So Lando, baby Lando, I should say, gets a great start. He's in first place. The race is going really well. It was a really smooth, clean race, great track. All the way to the 47th lap, and then all of a sudden, the rain starts. Has to decide, is he going to put on his race slicks and go pit and risk losing his first spot to Lewis, or is he going to wait it out and hope that the rain doesn't get worse? Well, it turns out the rain gets worse. Baby Lando is one of the only drivers who doesn't go to the pit lane because he's in first place. Lewis Hamilton goes into the pit lane behind Baby Lando, ends up changing into his rain slicks, gets in front of Baby Lando, finishes in P1. Baby Lando, in the meantime, three laps to go, he slides off the track. He is three laps away from winning his first Grand Prix, slides off the track, ends up in P7. Verstappen somehow finishes in P2. And so Lewis Hamilton is in the lead.
Close.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.